a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Good morning, everyone, or morning, depending on your location. Big 12 Conference today concluded its annual spring business meetings with all four governance groups meeting over the course of the last 3 days. Joining us today is Texas Tech University President and Big 12 Board of Directors Chairman Lauren Skuvenick and Big 12 Conference Commissioner Brett Yormark. We will begin with opening remarks and we'll throw it to Lawrence for his thoughts on the meeting. President Skuvenick.
Thank you, Bob. We have just concluded a very productive and substantive meeting. There was a great deal of enthusiasm about the state of our conference and the prospects for the future. The meeting focused on a number of issues: value creation, expansion, branding, the enhancement of services provided through the Big 12 office. I think the general sense is that when we hired Brett Yormark, we hit the jackpot. I made a comment to the board yesterday. It was little less than a year ago when we were conducting the search and we were considering our possibilities. Some were identified as moderate reward, moderate risk. One was identified as high risk, high reward. We went with the high risk, high reward, and we're benefiting, I think, from the great initiatives and the leadership that that Brett has shown at the conference. The board, the ADs and all are very much aligned with the prospects that we have in the future. And I'll let the commissioner address that in greater detail.
Thank you, Lawrence. First, I want to start off thanking Lawrence for serving as chair for the last 2 years. He's done a remarkable job in stabilizing our conference and setting us up for great success moving forward. But just as importantly, he's provided me with great guidance and has become a great friend. So thank you, Lawrence, for everything. I've got a couple of comments this afternoon. And first, I want to echo Lawrence's sentiments. It's been a great week here in West Virginia. It's the first time we've hosted these meetings in West Virginia. It included all of our governance groups. I think it's fair to say that, you know, coming out of these meetings, we have great alignment, great solidarity, and incredible momentum moving forward to next year. One of the biggest highlights, it's fair to say, is we will be distributing an estimated record of $400 million to our membership, which we're very proud of, and that will continue to grow in the future. We made numerous presentations to the board throughout the last couple of days, and I'll just speak to a couple of them. First, we presented next year's business plan and financial plan. We addressed our data rights deal, which we will announce in the coming weeks and very excited about. We talked about our international strategy, which is focused on Mexico, and we will announce that next week and give further details at that point in time. We also discussed extending our existing championship sites with our current venue partners in Dallas for football, in Arlington for baseball, in Kansas City for basketball, and also in Oklahoma City for softball. Very important for us on a go-forward basis to do that. We did discuss expansion, had a great discussion about expansion, in fact, and we have a plan. As I've said all along, we have an appetite to be a national conference in our makeup from coast to coast. And we do believe in the upside of basketball moving forward as a collective group. That being said, we love our current composition, love the four new schools that are coming in next month. However, if the opportunity presents itself to create value, we will pursue it. I'm not going to address expansion beyond that today, but it is a focus of ours. And when we're ready to speak more in with greater specificity, we'll do so. We also had a great presentation from our ad agency about our brand as we think about the Big 12 moving forward. Next year, you will see a brand refresh, which we're very excited about. We also updated our board on our commercial strategy, which is very important for us as we continue to grow revenue and diversify revenue. And as you saw in an announcement this week, we are taking those efforts in-house for all the right reasons. Lastly, we had an opportunity to spend some time with Charlie Baker. Linda Livingstone, our co-chair, hosted a fireside chat, and we got a really in-depth update on the progress that's being made on the Hill. And obviously, we know that's all a priority. That's a major priority for the industry. Again, I'll just say that it was a great couple of days. It was my first spring meetings with all the governance groups. And we've got a lot of momentum and excited about what we're building and what's in the future. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you, Brett. We'll now open it up to question and answer. If you would like to ask a question of either Lawrence or Brett, please use the raised hand function and wait to be identified before asking your question. We will throw it to Dennis Dodd for the first question. Dennis?
Hey, Brett, can you hear me?
Yep. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, some housekeeping. Would regarding expansion, would there have to be full service members, expansion to full cert or full, you know, full members before, you know, say a Gonzaga basketball only?
I mean, listen, we're going to consider all options. As I said before, you know, we do see the upside in basketball moving forward for all the right reasons. We think it's undervalued and there's a chance for us to double down as the number one basketball conference in America. But football is the driver, and we all know that. But, you know, we're exploring all options and all considerations at this point in time.
I've got a follow-up if I could.
Yep.
I'm trying to think now. Hold on just a minute. I'll come back. Go ahead.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Robert Allen. Robert? Robert, are you there? All right. We will jump down the line and go to Max Olson. Max?
Yeah, hi, Brett. Just wanted to clarify on the comment you made. When you talk about a brand refresh, could you elaborate a little on in terms of what's on the table and would that potentially include renaming the conference?
No, a refresh is just taking the current visual identity and just contemporizing it and modernizing it. We're not changing our logo at this point in time. But how do we showcase it maybe with different colors and different applications? So it is a refresh. It's not a logo change and certainly not a name change.
And then one more for you. On the revenue distribution, can you help us understand how Oklahoma and Texas are impacted by that with the agreement you've made with them and what ends up being distributed to them?
They are not impacted. They are an equal, they're getting their equal distribution this year. As you know, the entire, 10 members. So it was not impacted this year.
All right. Our next question is from Randy Peterson. Randy?
Okay, here we go. 41 athletes at Iowa and Iowa State are being investigated for illegal gambling on sporting events. How widespread nationally do you think that problem is, and what can be done about it short of changing the NCAA rule?
Well, Randy, it's good to have you with us. You saw the data coming out from the NCAA. Obviously it's an issue for all of us within the industry, and something that, you know, we're going to have to manage as effectively as possible. We had U.S. Integrity make a presentation to us this week. We take it that very seriously. We're going to double down in our efforts with U.S. Integrity. We're going to obviously advocate for student athlete education in the area of sports betting, and working with U.S. Integrity to do that and more. So it's certainly an issue. It's in the news. The NCAA obviously has provided us with data. It's becoming more widespread as far as sports betting in that demo 18 to 22, and something that the conference takes very seriously. And we did address it during our meetings here, and Charlie Baker spoke to it as well.
What are your thoughts on the NCAA gambling rule?
I mean, obviously, I think in talking to Charlie, everything, you know, he's putting everything through an audit right now. He's looking at everything within, you know, the NCAA and ways we can improve it and modify it if need be. So I would defer to Charlie on that. But I know everything's open, you know, for consideration, whether that means change or not. And again, I know it's a priority of his. He's addressing it as we are as an industry.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is Matt Mercial, Orlando Sentinel. Matt.
Hey, Brett. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
Good, good. I want to touch on, there was some discussion a couple of weeks ago, reports a couple of weeks ago about the league maybe looking at enhancing their television broadcasts, you know, and having coaches maybe possibly mic'd up, you know, locker rooms, more access to locker rooms, things like that. Is that something that was discussed at all of these meetings? And what are your thoughts on maybe trying doing more to expand the brand when it comes to television broadcasts?
Well, first of all, thanks for joining us. And I would say that, and I've mentioned this before, we want to be the conference of access and innovation. We want to be at the forefront for sure. And coming out of our meetings in Arizona with our football coaches and our basketball coaches in Dallas a couple of weeks ago, there is, you know, a narrative within the conference that we want to do more with our network partners, and we should. And we want to give greater access and insight to our fans. And you'll see more of that next year. We're really excited about it, but we do want to be at the forefront. And we're working very closely with our media partners to make sure that.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
We can, in fact, deliver the value they're looking for.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Again, if you would like to ask a question of either Lawrence or Brett, please use the raised hand function. Dennis, we'll circle back to you to see if you remembered what the your second question was going to be.
Dennis, before you go that, I just want to restate. If I misstated it, that our total distribution this year was $400 million. It's $440 million. So I apologize for misstating that number.
Okay.
440.
Okay. Brett, again, another housekeeping item. I know that separating out the two sports, football and basketball, is at least a curiosity, if nothing else. If that was to happen, would that be a renegotiation, or would you have to wait the 7 years to do that?
No. So there has been conversations, obviously, right, about what would happen in that next TV cycle. Certainly nothing can be done now, nor should it. In fact, I mean, we've got a great partnership with ESPN and Fox, and have agreed, you know, to to the deal that, you know, we effectively came to this past fall. But as we think about the future and ways to create value, there is always that option to decouple basketball from football to see if there's further value we can create for the conference. And we have positioned ourselves to do so at that point in time, if the opportunity presents itself and it makes sense.
Great. Thank you.
And our next question is from Philip Slavin. Philip?
Hi, yeah, Philip Slavin here, sorry. You had talked about extending the contracts with certain Big 12 championships. I know this past year that you guys looked to elevate the experience for fans and did a number of things, specifically at the men's and women's basketball, as well as the baseball championships. Is that something that you're looking to expand to other championships for the Big 12, specifically some of the women's tournaments like softball, soccer, or volleyball?
100%. Our goal is to further elevate and amplify the student athlete and fan experience throughout all of our championships. The championships that I mentioned earlier were core strategic markets to the conference where we've had a great experience with our venue partners in those communities, and we want to double down for all the right reasons. But generally speaking, our goal is to enhance all of our championships for both the student athlete and fans. And you saw us doing quite a bit of that this year, and you'll see us continue to do more next year.
All right, let's circle back to Robert Allen. Robert, do you have a question to ask?
And if I do.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. And thank you, Commissioner. And also thank you to Dr. Skubanek. You said 440. Is that to assume the number per school and distribution is right around $44 million per school?
Hi, girls.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. This is a question for both. I know, Commissioner, this was your first spring business meeting.
I love your shirts, girls.
How do you feel you came out of this with everybody in step? I mean, is everybody feeling the same way about a lot of the important facets of the future for the conference? Both you and your CEOs.
Yeah, a lot of new initiatives were presented, but one of the skills that Brett brings to us is that beyond energy and ideas, there's a lot of detail and substance and a plan for moving forward in these different directions. I've never seen greater unanimity among the board. I get the same sense from the ADs. The commissioner's already said this, but there is great alignment about among everybody associated with the Big 12 right now.
Commissioner, one last thing. This was also your first head coach meetings earlier in May in Arizona, talking to Coach Gundy. He was impressed. You sat in with them their entire meeting. You addressed officiating, a lot of things that he really didn't expect a commissioner to address. Can you talk about your experience with the head coach meetings, how you felt that came out?
I really enjoyed it, Robert. I spent a lot of time, obviously, in Arizona for the coaches' meetings there, the football coaches then doing the same in Dallas with the basketball coaches, men's and women's. It gave me an opportunity to listen and learn. I've been engaged with our coaches since I got started this past August when I did my listening and learning tour. And it was a good opportunity for me to kind of give them an update on many of the observations I have had over my first 9 months. And in many cases, ask them how we can be better as a conference. They're very transparent, open and honest with me, which I think is critically important for us to get better. And I also wanted them to know there were certain things that, you know, I felt we could improve upon over the course of, you know, the last 9 months. And I addressed that with them as well. So we're aligned there. Really enjoy the dialogue that I share with the coaches, and looking forward to building on that moving forward.
Thank you both again.
Next question comes from Mitch Harper. Mitch?
Yeah, in what areas, Commissioner, do you want the four new schools to maybe focus on in this first year to eventually be on par with maybe their conference peers eventually?
Mitch, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for doing this. You know, Commissioner, with looking at the new four schools as they, you know, get ready to join it on July 1st, in what areas maybe this first year are you hoping that they're maybe focusing on as a university, their infrastructure to eventually get on par with the rest of the members in this conference?
Well, first of all, great to have you with us. And I would just say that having observed, you know, where the four schools have been over the last 9 months, you know, they've had 2 years and a 2-year runway effectively to get ready. And they have built infrastructure. They have invested in resources. And I'm really pleased where they are right now. I mean, we can always get better, even the existing institutions, but they're ready to be part of the Big 12. We embrace them for all the right reasons. They've been part of our meetings throughout the year, both coaches meetings and administrative meetings. So they've ramped up in all the right areas. And I'm just looking forward to having them join us and to be part of this new Big 12.
And just a quick follow-up, if I could, is there any plans on July 1 for the league to, you know, kind of celebrate and introduce these four new schools?
Yes, we have great marketing plans to celebrate the new Big 12, the four new schools. You'll see a lot of that also around Media Day, which is on July 12th. And we're, again, very excited to be welcoming the four schools in. And they've been very much a part of what we've been doing over the last 9 or 10 months since I've been here. Like I said, they've been fully engaged. But officially, they're members in July, and we're going to celebrate it.
All right. Our next question is from Heather Dinnage. Heather?
My question is for Lauren. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. As presidents and chancellors, I'm curious, as you weigh these heavy decisions about further expansion and conference realignment is such a hot topic, as leaders of academic institutions within your league, what are your priorities and your concerns as you consider these moves?
The current presidents and chancellors value the shared culture we have in the conference. That matters to us. Our institutions share the same high academic standards, and we compete at a very high level athletically. So naturally, those sort of criteria do enter into our considerations. But I think also we have to be open to this changing landscape of athletics. And that's one of the skills that and perspectives that Brett brings us. And so we're taking a very open attitude, weighing all the different issues that are presented. And when the time is right and the situation is right, we'll make a decision.
Heather, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you? I hope you can't see me.
Well, listen, I just wanted to add one thing to what Lauren said. You know, we have some guiding principles, you know, when we think about expansion. I mean, it's all strategic here. And at the top is the academic alignment and the leadership and the cultural fit and the geography and the athletic performance and the upside that is that a potential institution has as they would potentially, you know, join the Big 12. And we think about all those things as a collective group, and we discussed all those guiding principles this week. So hopefully that helps kind of framing for you and crystallizes for you how we're thinking about it.
Yes. Thank you both.
Next up, Joseph Duarte. Joseph.
Good morning, Brett. Thank you for doing this.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good. Thank you. Brett, I was just curious with the week three, the September 16th, game, but if I'm not mistaken, it's a standalone TCU and Houston as far as conference head-to-heads. Was there a preference on having one of the new schools in that slot in terms of, you know, showcasing?
I think that was a scheduling dynamic for us. Listen, we want to showcase all of our member institutions, the existing as well as the new. I mean, that's our goal, and that's why we think so highly of ESPN and Fox, because they're going to elevate and amplify everything we do and what our schools do. So I don't think there was anything in particular we focused on there other than just a great game, and it kind of was part of the scheduling format, and it's on Fox, which we're obviously very excited about.
If I could follow up on the Mexico plans that you alluded to earlier about next week, is that going to lay out schools, or is that more dates, locations, or can you offer any, details on sort of how you plan on rolling that out?
When we announced it formally, and I know there was some information that was prematurely put out there, it will outline for you our strategic plan, why we're doing it, the rationale behind it, how we're going to enter the market, who we're partnering with, and it could potentially include, what teams we'll launch with. So more to come on that, but we're truly excited about our international plans and getting into that market sooner than later.
Thank you.
Next question, Chris Vanini. Chris?
Brett, with the football schedule, TV times and broadcasts coming out recently, a lot of games on ESPN Plus and some other streaming services. How do you view streaming and kind of the place the Big 12 has in that moving forward?
Well, we have our streaming partner, obviously, through ESPN, and we double down on ESPN and Fox for all the right reasons. We want to get that marketing and promotion and that linear exposure, but listen, digital is something that we're working with ESPN on specifically, and over the course of time, it's probably going to grow. We're happy to be partnering with ESPN both on a digital and their linear platform. And you'll see our schools on both, and I think that's important for us.
Thank you.
All right. There being no other questions in the queue, that will conclude today's press briefing. Thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you, President Skouvenik, Commissioner Yormark. Everybody have a great Friday, and please call on us if we can be of assistance. Have a great day, everybody.
Record. A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.